Anyway, my name is Foster Samuel Covington. Doesn't that sound impressive?
Very.
It don't help me make no money or nothing like that. Yeah, you can look good, you know what I'm saying? My grandfather stopped going to school when he was probably in the third grade and started working. But my grandfather took the dictionary. He learned every word in the dictionary and the meaning of every word in the dictionary, and he could hold a conversation with anybody about anything, which got him into a lot of trouble on occasion. His job was, he was a maitre d'. But every morning, my grandfather had on a three-piece suit, a Stetson hat. He had an attaché case. He thought he was going downtown. And everybody thought he had some job at the stock market. He said, no, I'm just a waiter. He said, but you can look good in anything you're doing, all right? And that was the kind of person that he was. But anyway, I pastor the Victory Independent Baptist Church here in Roanoke, Virginia. I'm a retired from the United States Air Force. After the Marines, they talk about us. We used to do bivouac with other services. Some years ago, they had the fiasco of thinking that they could take the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force and do a mission without radios that talk to each other. And some of you might remember that when the aircraft crashed and all that, you know, they got some dumb people in this world. But anyway, they decided that we needed to learn how to communicate and how to work together. So we used to go out on these exercises, and the Army guys would have their tents all out there, and they'd come strutting up, you know, with their badges. And, yeah, we stand out in the tents. Where y'all stand? I said, Holiday Inn. And they try to make you feel, yeah, you Air Force guys, you know, civilian service. You're just a bunch of whips. I said, call me what you want, man. I'm standing at Holiday Inn. It don't bother me, you know what I'm saying? It don't bother me at all. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. You can be turning to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Somebody asked me about the subject, about the corruption here in the throne room. And I have a friend, Dr. J. Garden Henry, and he has a prayer ministry. I pastored in the United Kingdom for 9.5 years. I was stationed there for 6 years, came back to the States, got and retired from the Air Force, and went back to England to pastor the church that I was a member of when I was in the military that was planted by a missionary, by Brother Howell, and then was established by another missionary, Brother Rick Stuckey. Brother Rick Stuckey established two independent Baptist churches in the United Kingdom. Both of those independent Baptist churches are still there. And both independent Baptist churches had pastors that were not missionaries who were pastoring those churches. You just got to be willing to live according to the means of the people. And God bless. And in fact, I'm going back in April for the, I think the, what is it? Well, I don't want to tell it. Anyway, the anniversary of the church that has been there, and God bless me to lead them to be debt-free. They have a couple of million pounds worth of property there. And when the military left, I called the moving company. I said, well, if the military is gone, I got to go. And as I was talking to the people, and they said, Mr. Covington, we can't move you like the Air Force move you. We got to come out and assess what you have. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me as I'm talking on the phone, and the Holy Spirit was saying, right, you think I didn't know this was going to happen? You think I brought you all this way for the military? You think I'm dumb? And I said, never mind. And I hung up the phone, and I didn't look back. And I told the remainder of the people, we went from almost 200 people to 50 people in 2 months. Because when the military moves you, they move. When they close a base, they take them all out. We lost 34 families the first month, and they took out they brought special planes in, flying everybody out of there. And that 50 people was counting the babies and everybody. And so I said to the church, I said, listen, I said, number one, I said, we need to do a different kind of praying. I said, number two, I need for you to get your neighbors here any way you can. Drag them, feed them, beat them, whatever you got to do, get them to church, all right? And they began to invite their neighbors to church. And one thing that I realized pretty quick is that the English did not respond like Americans. You know, say, if the Lord has touched you, come on down. They're not moving. They are not moving. I said, Lord, how do I reach the English folks. How can I get them to make a decision for Christ? And so I changed a few things that we did to make it more. There's some seats up here, guys. There's some seats to make it more like English and not American. One of the things I think American missionaries do, and I know this for a fact because I support a bunch of them and been with a bunch of them, is they want to make little America in places. And these people are not Americans.
Yeah.
And so I saw how they did things. And I said, okay, I'm going to change the way I do things. And so I said, listen, if anybody really believes what I'm saying, I said, everybody else has got their heads bowed. I said, I want you to look up at me. I said, so if you're looking up at me, I'm coming to you. So if you're lying, I'm still coming to you. And this one lady on the left-hand side, I still remember her. She looked up, and I got my wife's attention, and my wife walked that way, and I walked this way, and I got to her, and I said, ma'am, what can I do for you? She says, I want what you're talking about. She says, I want what you're offering. And my wife and another lady took her and went on. I said, I got it now. I know how to do it now. Don, my friend Don right here, was in the Air Force at that time. And the church where he was Chicksands Baptist Church. And one time, his pastor needed a place to baptize, and the British church wouldn't let him baptize because they said, you might defile the waters. He says, why do you say that? He said, you got too many cars on your parking lot.
What?
So he called me up, and he says, hey, I need to baptize some folks. What can you do? I said, I got some folks to be baptized. So we had a baptismal service. And we had one of the baptistries that you stood outside of, you know, like a trough thing, because we didn't, it was a Baptist church, but they didn't put a baptistry. I put one in there after I got there. So we had it in the fellowship hall. So we would sing and baptize. We baptized so many people, we had to stop baptizing and put more water, right, Doug? Had to stop baptizing and put more water in the pool. We were standing outside, we might as well have been inside. We were soaking wet. In fact, I got tired. One of my elders thought, he said, let me baptize a few. One of the new converts said, Pastor, I want you to baptize me. I said, give her here, brother. Let's baptize them and get it going. What I'm saying is, when you pray right, God will do what's right. He'll do what's right. I'm going to read this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. All of you familiar with this passage of Scripture. It says, let us therefore come how boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly unto the throne of grace. Guys, there's still chairs up here if you want to come. Still chairs. If you guys got a chair by you, some guys are standing. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 chairs up here. And what I just something I want you guys to get if you get nothing else this evening. And Mark, would you keep up with time for me, please? Thank you. Okay, thank you. Is that the thought that I have in my mind and what I want you to think about today is how we come to pray. How do we come to pray? What do we do when we pray? I was teaching my Sunday school lesson on class on Sunday, and I said, you know, I used to speak eloquently on how you single guys need to be strong in the Lord. You know? And I said, boy, I said, look to myself, I said, you need to shut up because you know what you're talking about. It's not easy. But when you pray right, God will do right.
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, empower the word now. Lord, I got nothing to say. Will you say something? In Jesus' name, amen. What I want you to think about today as we look at this passage of Scripture, we have a great privilege of having an invitation to have access to the throne room of God. And that's a great privilege. I mean, everybody don't get this privilege to have access. I mean, a lot of people want it. A lot of people think they have it. But if they don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you don't have this access. And today, if there's anybody in here this evening that does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, let me encourage you today to meet him. Okay? Because this is just academic if you don't know Christ. You got to know him in order to be able to talk to him in a fashion that's going to get an answer to you. A lot of times answers come even for those who are us who are saved when we're not right, but God's not giving the answer.
Amen.
God's not giving the answer. Don't you know the devil can do things?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
When he tempted Jesus never said you can't do any of that stuff. He never said it. Because on his terms, listen, on the devil's term, if you want to go according to his terms, he can do a lot of things. But Jesus used the scripture to say, I'm not on your field, buddy, and you're not on mine, and I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. So the devil can offer a lot of things, and people think that he cannot, but he can. And one of the things that we've been doing in our church, and I've been teaching, you know, Brother Mike here is in my church, I've been teaching on the fact that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And a lot of times we think that that person is the problem, and we are praying against that person, and that is not the problem. And on many occasions, the person you look at in the mirror is the real problem. You know, Brother Young, I mean, he just smoked me yesterday in the message. I know you guys are all good to go. But what he said just that day before, and my wife and I have custody of our grandchildren. And so my granddaughter was at the piano, and I said, "Sweetheart, I need you to play this," and she didn't want to do it. And so I said, "The teacher wants you to sing out these notes," and she didn't want to do it, so she went. I said, "Fine, don't do it then. Just get up from the piano." And I walked out the room. How childish was that? And I'm walking down the hall, and the Holy Spirit said, "Yeah, you did it, didn't you, Papa?" "Yeah, you got it together, buddy." I know none of you guys ever do stuff like that. So I went back in there. She's crying her little eyes out. I said, "You didn't get a whipping. What's wrong with you?" She said, "Papa, you hurt my feelings." So I go sit beside her and put my arms around her. I said, "Papa don't always do everything right." I said, "Will you forgive me?" She said, "I'll forgive you." And then I come to hear Brother Young. I had to go back last night and say, "Hey." I said, "Papa was way out of line." I said, "Will you forgive me?" And the reason that I did that, because I knew in my own heart it was not right. So if I'm going to pray and I know in my own heart that something is not right, then I got a problem between me and God. And that's really the emphasis I want to put to us tonight. We have this privilege to come, and when we think of the Old Testament and the fact that they had the Holy of Holies, and that was all locked up and closed up, and only the priest could go in, and he could only go in once a year to make atonement. But something had to happen before he could go in. He couldn't just go walking in. I mean, he couldn't just come, "Here I am, open the curtain, boys, I'm coming in to pray." He had to have two things going in, did he not? First of all, he had to have the blood. Right? He had to have the blood or he couldn't get in there. And secondly, his own person had to be prepared. His person had to be prepared. But when you study that thing, as I was studying this, you know, it doesn't talk about his heart. It talks about his physical self. And his physical self had to be prepared. He had to be properly cleansed, bathed. He had to have on the right clothing in the right order. He couldn't just throw the robe over and then put something else over and tie some stuff around him and put a bandana on his head like he's a ninja priest. He couldn't do that. He had to be prepared. And remember, he had the pomegranates with the bells in them around the bottom of his robe there. And the reason why he had them purple things on there, not that he could look good, but if something happened while he was in there, they didn't hear no jingle.
Right.
Something happened in there. And they take and drag him out, roll, roll, and get him out of there. So they had to be prepared. Now, what did Jesus do on the cross? When he died on the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom. So we can see the Holy of Holies. We can see everything that's on the inside. And sometimes because we can see something, we misconstrue the fact that we have access to think that we can come any kind of way we want to. I can see it. I can go. I'm saved. I can go. Well, I want you to think about that for a minute. Can we go any kind of way we want to? Can we just show up whom we feel like it? The priest had something he had to do. And we can have this scripture that says we can boldly have access. We can come boldly. And often I'm just musing with my own self and thinking, "Lord, am I right in my own heart when I'm talking to you? You know, have I had the wrong kind of thoughts? Are things right between me and my wife?" Things should be right between you and your wife, or your prayers are going to be hindered anyway. So you should make sure that my wife and I, we made a covenant with each other. And I did this before I even got saved. I told her, I said, "Listen, when we get mad at each other, you know, when you first get married, you're stupid as all get out. And you say, you know, this is my money. You can't spend my money. This is my money, too. You know, even though I'm not working. But this is my money." My mother said, "Boy, shut up. Get a girl the money and go on." And one time I got mad at her and she got mad at me. I said, I'm leaving the house. Now, I'm living on base. So I go over to my auntie's house. I'm stationed right past her. I go to my auntie's house. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, we had a fight. She said, get your, and I'm just going to what she said. You get out of here, go back home, and don't come back over here no more. So I went home and apologized. But one of the things that we covenant together to do is to never, ever let the word divorce be in our conversation. Don't even think about it. If you never think about it, you won't have to do anything about it. Never let it be there. But I realized that when we had aught with each other, we couldn't go to bed without getting it right because I'm going to pray, she's going to pray. How can I pray for her if we got bad attitudes? And you can't just come any kind of way you want to. You might have to cleanse some things up before you do that. Now, he's not talking about taking a shower. Your wife might want you to take a shower, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your heart. In Isaiah 64:7, it says, and there is none that calleth upon the name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And the reason why sometimes we don't get an answer or we're wondering what's going on is because we have iniquities in us when we come to pray. When we come to pray. You say, I don't have nothing like that. Well, is that true? Have you ever checked yourself out? I mean, the stuff has been good. Has it not been good?
It's been real good.
Man, I've been checking myself. I didn't know I was so bad. And things I need to deal with. And sometimes as men, you know, we kind of brave it up. It's going to be all right. Well, it's not going to be all right until you check up. A friend of mine says you need to do a checkup from the neck up and make sure things are right with the Lord. We need to recognize here that we're calling on the name of the Lord, but he's not listening to us. He's not paying us any attention because of these iniquities. And his face is from us as though it's hid from us. And God is not answering us because let me tell you something. When you want to hear from heaven, you better make sure you're right when you go to ask. How many of you let your children come in the house and say, I want some of this and I want some of that? If you did, shame on you. My grandchildren, they come and they say, may I have this, please? And if I tell them something, they have a wrong attitude about it. I said, not happening. And they say, why, Papa? I said, bad attitude. And sometimes we come to God with what kind of attitudes? Bad attitude. Bad attitudes. Dr. Hollingsworth said, prayer is a gauge of our spirituality. A gauge of our spirituality. Not just praying, but how you pray and what attitude you're praying with. And sometimes I think we accept an unholy idea about our access to the Lord through prayer, thinking that that it's available to us no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we just said, no matter how mad we just got at our boss, no matter how upset we got with somebody else, and we just think that I'm upset and I'm mad and I'm telling you what, I'm ticked off, buddy, but I'm going to pray. How do you change that quick? A member of my church got mad at me and he quit coming to church and he wanted to hinder his wife from coming to church. And he said, we're moving our membership. So I wrote him a letter. Hadn't been to church in 3 weeks. I wrote him a letter. I said, dear brother, I said, I am saddened that you have decided that this is not the church for you, but I'll leave that between you and the Lord. I said, however, I don't think you're a good steward of your family. I said, I don't think you are a good teacher to your children. And I said, I don't think you're a good leader for your wife. But you're the man of the house and she's following you. Hi, brother. What is y'all writing me that letter? What's wrong with you? I said, let's go down to the office. We went down to the office. I said, have a seat. I said, let's pray. I said, dear Father, this brother's mad at me. I don't know why. But we need to be right with you. Amen. And so I said, what's wrong? He says, attitude change. He said, well, why'd you write me that letter, Pastor? I said, what did it say on the bottom of that letter? It says, I love you. He said, well, why did you say that to me? I said, because I love you. He said, why don't you just say, I love you? I said, would you be sitting here right now if I just said that? He said, no. I said, now let's get right down to it. Man, he started confessing things I didn't even know was going on in his life. I mean, he just opened up the floodgates, and he had all kind of stuff going on. And now I could see that all I was seeing was symptoms, and the real problem was sin. And there was no winning in his life. There was no change in his life. His prayer life was zip because of all the things that are going on in him. If we have things going on in us that are not right with God, we need to get those things right. I mean, what have we been hearing? To repent. What did Brother Harold say? What did he say? Admit it, quit it, and forget it. But we find that we come sometimes to the throne of grace and we are holding on to these things. And as a priest, as you see in Exodus, he had all this preparation, this elaborate robes on and all these things he had to do. And he went through all these things in order to be able to go into the Holy of Holies. And in Leviticus, it says in 21 and 10, it says, he that is a high priest among his brethren upon whose head the anointing of oil was poured and that is consecrated to put on the garments. And we have all these things that said, and we have through the blood of Jesus Christ access to the throne of grace that we can bring our petitions there. Yet we come with iniquities in our heart, things that we know we should have gotten right with God, expecting God to hear us when he is not going to hear us.
Amen.
He's not going to hear us. You got too much stuff going on. Too many things that are out of source with God. And that's what I mean by corruption in the throne room. You are saved. You got access to the throne room. So you come into the throne room. You're bowing there before the Lord. Iniquity is in your heart. You got evil thoughts. You got wickedness going on inside of you. You haven't dealt with that. Yet you want to talk to God. And the talk ought to be, Lord, have mercy upon me. Be like the publican. Have mercy upon me. I asked our church some years ago, we were in a tough financial situation. And I told our church, I said, listen, we need to ask for some supernatural blessings. I said, and we need to do some supernatural praying. So let's fast. Now, Mike's back there, he can tell you. Now, why did I ask him to fast? First of all, I taught on fasting. I mean, whether you believe in fasting or not, that's up to you. I do. So I taught on fasting and why we should do it, afflict our souls, letting God know we are for real about prayer. We're letting God know for real we want to hear from heaven. And first of all, getting right with God ourselves. Listen, you start fasting, your stomach start growling, and the devil start messing with you, and then you need to get on your face so the Lord said, Lord, you know, maybe my stomach's been my problem all the time. And my other appetites, that are displeasing to you. You young fellas, if you're single, sometimes your mind gets to going where it ought not go. Sometimes married fellas, your mind gets to going where it ought not go. And God cannot deal with us until we deal with our own issues, until we get those things right. But we can't just come into the throne room in any kind of way. If you don't get nothing else, get that. We have to get right with the Lord. There's some things we need to do. But what about now, since we're under grace? High priest had something to do. He had to have the blood. We don't need the blood because Jesus has taken care of that. Amen. Amen. He's already opened the way. And you just got to be right when you go. The blood part is taken care of. You'll never have to do it again. He is our high priest. And we don't have to worry about the priest stuff. We need to worry about the me stuff.
Amen.
Listen, if I could get me right, that'd be half the problem right there. Just dealing with me. And we've been focusing on that. And a lot of times we think, I can't remember who was Brother Harold, somebody was talking about your thinking. And I was teaching on this, that in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord asked them, who do men say that I am? You know, they said some, Elijah, and so forth. So he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You read on down in that a little bit, and Jesus tells him what's going to happen to him. Peter pulls him aside, and he rebukes him for that. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Same chapter, same two guys, different voice. You better know what voice is talking to you. If it feeds the corrupt thoughts, if it feeds lust, if it feeds bad attitudes, bad actions, or bad or wrong desires, you know it's not from God. Had a man, a retired lieutenant colonel, worked for one of the ladies in our church. She said, "Pastor, this guy is messed up." She said, "Can you help him?" I said, "No." I said, "But tell him to come on by anyway." And he came by. This guy was brilliant. Brilliant. The Air Force kept him in because he had developed some sort of thing that they didn't want to lose him. Smart guy. He came into my office, and I said, I reached my hand, said hello. His hand went past mine, and he started cussing. I said, "Wait a minute. Whoa." He stopped and looked at me. I said, "We got to pray." I said, "Lord, I don't know what this is, but I know it's not right. And I want to rebuke it in the name of Jesus." Amen. And I said, "Now sit down." He sat down and he looked at me. I said, "Tell me what's going on with you." He said, "I have this voice telling me to rape my daughter." He said, "And I couldn't stand it, and I took a knife." He tried to stab himself, you know. I said, "How long have you been hearing these voices?" He said, "For some time now." I said, "Who do you think's talking to you?" He said, "It must be God." That's where I looked to. I said, "Why would you think it's God? Everything you're telling me is contrary to anything God would have. You even know that yourself." He said, "Then who was it?" I said, "The devil. One of his lieutenants assigned to you." I said, "That's who it was." I said, "You need to be saved." He said, "What's that?" So I took the scripture and I showed him how to what the Bible said about men. Say, he said, "Right, that's what I want. Let's do it." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you said so." I said, "Wrong reason." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You don't want to do this because I said so. So if somebody else come and tell you something different, you're going to do what they say. And then somebody else tell you something different, they're going to do what they say." I said, "You don't want to do this because I said so." He said, "Then when do I know I want to do it?" I said, "When you are compelled by the Spirit of God, then you'll know it." He said, "What am I doing now?" I said, "Go." He said, "Suppose the voices come back." I said, "Let's pray for that." I said, "Lord, I pray you rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. No more voices. Amen." And he left my office. I called his boss, who was working with my church. I said, "Listen, you may need to call the people." Yeah, I said, "You know, I said he may need to see somebody." You know what I mean? Yeah. And I believe in the power of God. I'm gonna tell you, but
yeah, practically,
yeah,
for the daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, 20 minutes. It was a Wednesday morning. 20 minutes. He called me. I said, "He said, Pastor Kevin." Yeah. He says, "I said, you're okay?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Where is someone on the side of the road?" I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I'm compelled." I said, "Come on back." He came on back and prayed, asked Jesus to save him. I said, "Listen, this is Wednesday. Be here tonight and stand up and tell everybody." He was there Wednesday night. He stood up and gave a testimony how God has saved him. And as far as I know, he's saved today. His wife was gone. She came back and she called him up. He called me. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to mental health." He said, "Why?" "My wife told me I must be crazy and I need to go." So he went. I went up to see him. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Great. I'm witnessing all these people up here." So when his wife came back, she came to church. And this is what she said to me. She said, "Pastor Covington," she said, "my husband would have done anything you told him to do. If you'd have told him to burn down the house, he'd have burned down the house." She said, "I want him to come and see what kind of church would tell him, go ahead and listen to your wife. Everything's all right. Just go." She said, "I had to come and see." So she heard the gospel. You see, if we think that everything is okay when we got a voice, this is not right. You know, "Well, I don't feel okay." "Well, that was a wrong thought. I shouldn't have watched that movie. Had more than a few little words in it, but I'm going to go pray anyway." It's hard to pray when you watch stuff like that. Number one, you got them images in your head. And some of the garbage they have on regular television. My grandbabies got better sense. I wasn't paying no attention, and it was watching some program was on, and a guy used some profanity. My grandson, "Hey, Papa, that's got to go." I "Don't know what he said, but turn it off." Because I'm teaching them, if it's not right, don't listen to it. Listen, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God, are we going to hear from it? And if you're watching the wrong thing, if you're talking the wrong talk, if you're living a wrong life and you think nobody knows it, but you're going to go and pray anyway, God knows it. And your prayers are not going to work for you. You think because you're under grace, everything is just hunky-dory. You better thank God for grace. But you better know something is required of you. You see, because you are a priest now. The priesthood of the believer. You don't need no blood. Jesus took care of that, but you do need to be right. You know, maybe there's somebody, a friend or somebody else that right now you got ought against. I mean, you're hard-hearted against them right now. And I want to tell you, you need to get that right so you can hear from heaven. You want to have answers, get that right. My daughter. Some of the guys know my daughter. Went to school right here. Homeschooled for a long time. Awanas, all the things that you do. She decided that she didn't want no more to be a child of God anymore. Wow. And I had some of the counselors out at the camp talk to her. I sent her to counseling. I just, you know, I can't do this. Sent her to counseling, and she gives a testimony of a saved person, but she knows the ropes. And there are a lot of people just like her. She was 3 years old when we got her. There are a lot of people just like her. They know the ropes, but they don't know the way. And now she's caught up into a cult. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They call themselves the Black Hebrews or Israel or something like that. Yeah, that's it. Hate everybody. And I asked her husband, I said, "What her present husband, I said, what is it that you believe?" He said, "The Bible." I said, "Which part of the Bible?" He said, "The commandments." I said, "Which one of the commandments?" He said, "The ten." I said, "Which one of the ten? Because you're breaking at least five of them, and I know right now." He got mad at me. I really don't care, but he got mad at me. He said, "And what do you think I ought to do?" I said, "You need to be saved." I said, "God wants to save you. His grace is there for you." He said, "I got a problem with grace." I said, "Okay, what's your problem with grace?" He said, "It's just like the electric company. You owe your bill, they give you a grace period, but you still got to pay." I said, "No, you don't get it." Has nothing to do with the has nothing to do with the electric company's grace, all right? And I explained grace to him, and he wanted to argue scripture with me. And my daughter at least had enough sense to say, "You know, you argue with a preacher." But anyway, so I just challenged him. And then he gave me some off-the-wall comment. I said, "Where did that come from?" He said, "Oh, that came out of the book of Maccabees." I said, "That's the end of our discussion." I said, "We're gone. We're gone. You're off course." But I keep praying for him. I don't never quit praying for him. And I need to make sure my heart is right towards him, her husband. Right. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I have an agreement, you know, I have an agreement. And we had a pedophile, whatever the people are, anyway, yeah, in our neighborhood. And I knew who he was, knew where he was. And I told him, I said, "You know what?" I said, I was just talking. He said, "You know, I'm an old man." And I said, "Listen, man, if I have to live the rest of my life out in jail, that's all right." I witnessed there in jail. I was giving him a hint, all right? Yeah. And I wasn't playing with him neither. And I just told him, "You don't mess with my grandchildren." That's just the way that it is. And I don't think that's unspiritual.
No.
I'm just giving him the facts of life. And I started witnessing to him because I wanted to be saved, yeah. Anyway, I started witnessing to him because I said, "Lord," I said, "why is this man living next door to me?" And I said, "I'm going to try to win him to the Lord." And that's what I did. I witnessed to him. And he was listening, but he had an evil woman that didn't help him none. And came over to ask me. He says, "Listen, we want to get married. Will you marry us?" I said, "No way." He said, "Why?" I said, "Number one, people who live together get divorced more often than people who don't. Number two, you're not right with God. Number three, both of you need counseling. Number four, no." They lasted 2 weeks. I see him walking down the street with a bag. She didn't put him on his bike. That's an English term from you got to hear. And sometimes people will come and they think that, well, anything ought to, I mean, you're the preacher, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to marry people. I said, no, I'm not. I said, you're not right with God. And just to be honest with you, I think if I did something like that, I couldn't go and pray. How could I pray over that? How could I ask God to bless that iniquity? And a lot of times we want God to bless iniquities in us. And you have to just think about that for you. I got my own stuff. Amen. Yep. You have to just think about that for you. What hinders you? Matthew 11:25 says, when you stand praying, forgive, praying, forgive. If you have aught against any that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. So listen, if you got aught against somebody, you got a problem with somebody, get that thing right. I worked for a chief master sergeant when I was in the military. I was a tech sergeant. He was a chief master sergeant. And the chief master sergeant is the highest rank you can get in the Air Force. I didn't like him and he didn't like me, but I was saved. He tell me to do something, I said, I'm not doing that. And the Holy Spirit said, buddy, how you going to come pray to me? And you can't even do what you're supposed to do. I wrestled with that because I didn't like him. It wasn't no racial thing, no white or black. We were cool with that. I just didn't like it. And when the Holy Spirit got through with me, he came in the office and says, Covington, do so-and-so. I said, right, chief. He said, you going to do it? I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. He went out the door. He came back. Hey, you going to do it? I said I was going to do it. I was preaching sometime after that. I said, hey, chief, I'm going to be preaching over the chapel. Will you come? He said, yeah, I'll come. And he came. And as time went on, I got commissioned, went to school, and went to my first training assignment as an officer. And guess who I saw? Was that chief. Now I outrank him. So I'm riding my bike. He stops me. He says, hey, Lieutenant, how are you? I said, fine, chief. And we chit-chat. He said, you know what? I remember that message you preached. I didn't remember it. I said, really? What was it? He says, born again, how then shall we live? That's what I preached. So evidently, he got it. I said, chief, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad that message meant something to you. I said, but I got to go. He says, move. I was on my bicycle. He said, move your bike. I said, what for? He says, I want to salute you. I said, that's not necessary. He said, I said, move your bike. So I got out, got off my bike. He stood out. He said, sir, I salute you. Now, my bad attitude, disliking him, can't pray, can't get no answer, get right with God, he comes to hear the message. Do you get what I'm saying to you guys? I mean, it's just a simple thing. I don't have nothing profound to say to you. I'm just telling you, when we come to the Lord, we need to do some business of repenting and getting right before we open our mouth about anything else. Before you ask for anything, you ought to say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me to be what you want me to be. And we're going to come boldly there. We better come boldly with submission. And we got to come boldly with surrender. We got to come boldly with acknowledgement that we need to be right. Psalm 66:18, as I said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When you look at this word iniquity, it's translated several ways in the King James. It says vanity, affliction. It talks about mischief. It talks about unrighteousness. It talks about evil. It talks about false things. It talks about idols. Man, there's a lot of things we have going on, isn't it? All these things that are going on in our life. It talks about hateful speech. Yes. That's iniquity. Hateful speech. Do you know that the devil wants to divide us? And anything he can use to put a split between the church of God, he'll use it. A guy asked me once about my church, and the guys here who know me. When somebody comes to my church, I never, ever say, we're going to have a good white brother to come and preach for us. Yeah. You ever hear me say that?
No.
And you can ask Mike sitting right there. He said, Pastor, we never know who's going to show up in here. I said, nope. You know, it's a preacher. They've been vetted. I was a stationed in Boston, Massachusetts, a member of Brother Jim Edge's church, and I was the song leader. And he had one of the young men who had graduated from Boston East and had been successful, and he had another priest for him. And I saw them two talking on the pulpit. I know what he was talking about. And Brother Jim stood up and he said, I was just telling what his name is, about Brother Covington. And he said, you know what? And he said, you didn't tell me Brother Covington was black. He said, I didn't tell him you was white. And sometimes that kind of iniquitous thing hinders our prayers. And the building that we occupy right now used to be called Conley Memorial Baptist Church. Conley Memorial Baptist Church is no longer there because they made a decision not to let the black folks moving into that community be a member of that church. That's why they're not there anymore. And guess who got it now? One of their members used to come and park his truck right up at the top of my hill. And I didn't know who this guy was up there. You know, I got my 357. I said, hey, man, who are you? No, I'm just joking. Anyway, I went up there. I said, brother, can we help you? He says, well, he says, this is my church. My married my wife, buried my wife, my children. And I said, what'd you up here for, man? Come on in. I said, come on in. He said, I'm welcome. I said, sure, you're welcome. Why do you think you wouldn't be welcome? Is there a sign up there? You're not welcome? God said, hey man, you have a black church? I said, no, our church is white. Don't you see that white building over there? We got three white buildings over there. Yeah. All them buildings belong to us. Yeah, all three of them white buildings belong to us. Yeah. You know what? I pastored in the United Kingdom. Nobody ever introduced me as the black pastor of a predominantly Caucasian church. Never. And the only person who did was another American who had been there so long he had an English accent, and I didn't even know he was an American. And he asked us to come over and preach and bring our choir because we were known for our choir, and we would go and sing. People would come and hear us sing, then we'd stand there and preach. And he said, Brother Covington, he says, hey, sir, brother, I thought you had a West Indian congregation. I said, why do you think we had a West Indian congregation? He said, I don't know. If anything divides us, it ain't no good. It hinders our prayers. It is iniquity. If you get that, say amen.
Amen.
And I don't want anything like that in my life. And any of these guys who know me know that I'm not for none of that. One of my members of my church who was from Wales, and the Welsh don't like to be called English, and the English don't like to be called Welsh, and none of them like to be called Irish, and Irish don't want to be called none of them, and the Scots don't want to be called anything but Scot. So I don't even bother with that. I said, hey, brother. And he said, Pastor, you don't know English people as well as you think you know them. I said, well, are you saved? He said, you know I'm saved. I said, what else do I need to know? Amen. What do I need to know other than that you're saved? You ought to act like a saved person. You ought to treat me like I'm saved. I ought to treat you like you are saved. And if we are on our way to heaven, we ought to act like it right now, right here, get our hearts right with God. Listen, if we get the iniquity out of us, I think God will do something great right here in America. How about you?
Amen.
God's not going to judge this world because of the world, but because of the church. The world's doing what the world does. People, you know, like Otis is talking about, I got family members. I said, get out of here with that. They said, well, I know you and you're conservative. I said, get out of here with that. I said, you want to talk about the Lord? Talk about the Lord. Because when we get to heaven, yep, you think we're going to stand at the Bema seat and the Lord say, are you a Republican or a Democrat? All Republicans, you go over there. Now, Democrats, you go over there. We say the dumbest things sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, you're right.
I was at a church once, and a guy, and people are always strange. It always gets me because, I mean, if you're a black independent Baptist, and let's just face it, not a whole lot of us. But I don't look at myself as that. I look at myself as a brother in the Lord. So I'm comfortable wherever I go. I'm comfortable wherever I go. I'm not uncomfortable. He said, are you uncomfortable? I said, no, the air conditioner is fine, man. It's cool. They got fried chicken. I'm cool. Yeah. What's the deal? You know what? We need to get over ourselves.
Yes.
Get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
This brother asked me once in the church we were, I was just talking to one of the men, we were up in where they have the shop, and Harold had a conference up there in Virginia. No, shopping.
Oh, Winchester?
Yeah. And so the guy asked me, he says, "Brother, I'm glad you're here. I hope you stay faithful to the Lord." I said, "I hope you do too." "Why would you think doing otherwise? Am I an anomaly?" You know? Give me a break, man. I don't get mad with folks. Somebody asked me, and I'm close with this. They said, "Listen, when you were in England, did you experience any prejudice?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "They knew I was an American. They knew I was a preacher because we used to preach out there in the street. They knew that that we were a Baptist church, and they didn't particularly like Baptist churches. Why do I worry about what their problem is? I have no idea. I'm not going to worry about it. If you don't like me, that's your problem. But I'm not going to respond to you the way you respond to me." What, I got a minute? Okay. Iniquity. My wife and I joined the Barrington Baptist Church in Aguadilla, Puerto Rico. We were the only black couple in that church, we thought. And the pastor, who was a big joker, made a man who didn't like us our deacon. And when his wife was introduced to my wife, she wouldn't shake my wife's hand. And so as time went on, he got real sick. In fact, he worked for Burlington Industries. He got real sick, got furloughed. He had to move out of his home that he was in, a real nice home, to something a little less expensive. The pastor said, "We need cookers, we need food, we need to go." Me and my wife right there. Moving his furniture. I had to have the teams once. His granddaughter was there. She was not attired properly for a Christian young lady. I said, "Young lady, you're not going with me with no bikini on." That's the end of the story. I said, "You either go get something on, or you get a T-shirt or something, or you're going home." She said, "Well, my grandmother knows how I look." Then I said, "You go let her look at you, because you're not going with me." Her grandmother didn't know how she looked. And so the boys give her a big old long T-shirt. I said, "Okay, we can go." When we got ready to leave, my pastor said, he said, "Brother Foster," he said, "some people haven't arrived yet." He said, they haven't got it yet. He said, "But you just keep on loving them just the same." You see, his prayers were hindered. Mine were not. He came to my house when we were getting ready to go, sit on my carport. He said, "Brother Covington, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Listen," he said, "Brother, will you forgive me?" He said, "I was the worst Christian, brother. I was the worst deacon." He said, "Will you forgive me?" I said, "You're forgiven." And he put his arms around me and hugged me at the fellowship that we had. His wife came to my wife. She said, "Sister Georgia, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me?" My wife said, "You're forgiven." Hey. It's better to let the Lord work things out.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Let the Lord, listen, if I had time, I'd tell you how God works things out. You don't have to, listen, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. You don't have to get yourself in it. Just say, "The Lord rebuke you. I'm going to leave you in God's hands." I have much more to say, but our time is done. But I hope you get this. Don't think you can come any kind of way. And Brother Harold says, "Fall on your face before the Lord, repent first. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Setting your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. And when Christ, he is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." If you're not right, you're going to lose some rewards in glory, saints. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. Lord, I'm sure I did a poor job, but I pray that you add to your word, that you speak to our hearts, that we realize we can't come any kind of way. There's got to be some preparation in order to meet with you. Help us to meet with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, fellas. Thank you.